And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. You know, that last song we sang, Give Me Jesus, is a great segue into this morning's message. Because this morning's message is entitled, Who is Jesus? You know, we sing all of these songs about who Jesus is. Give me Jesus, and Jesus saves, and all of this about Jesus, and of course, rightly so. But I wonder if we've ever stepped back and thought, who are we singing about? Who exactly is this Jesus character that we are so passionate about? And so this morning, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 16 and look at just a few short verses. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. The verses will also be up on the screen for you. Or if you've got a copy of our digital bulletin online, you can tap the sermon notes and it'll pull up this Matthew 16 passage as well. What our identity is really determines a lot of what people think about us and how they treat us, doesn't it? How we're perceived is often a reflection of how people act towards us. I think of the movie Home Alone. Have you seen the movie Home Alone? I know it's not Christmas, but it's a great movie for year-round. There's a character in the movie Home Alone, the South Bend Shovel Slayer, and he has a bad reputation. He is known for killing his entire family with a shovel and burying them and covering them with salt to turn their bodies to zombies. This is based on a true story, I think. And so here this South Bend Shovel Slayer is salting the sidewalks and supposedly doing something nice, but all the kids in the neighborhood know that he is this mass murderer. Of course, what do you find out as the movie unfolds? That this is really just a kind, gentle neighbor old man who just is kindly salting the sidewalks during the middle of the winter. But it didn't matter to those boys who he really was. Their perception of him was enough to frighten them. Their perception of him determined everything. That's why in the movie when Kevin runs into him at the store, he takes off running the other direction. He's terrified because of who he perceives him to be. This morning, I wonder who you perceive Jesus to be. I wonder who your Jesus is. I wonder who it is when you sing, Give Me Jesus, who are you singing to? This morning, we're going to look at the disciples as they're walking with Jesus to Caesarea Philippi. And as they're walking, Jesus asks them some interesting questions. You know, typically we find the disciples in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as bumbling idiots. If you read the Gospels in large part, we see them failing more than succeeding. We see them lacking faith, or we see them unable to perform the miracles Jesus puts before them. We see them questioning and uncertain. It's really not until the book of Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament, that these disciples become the heroes that we know them to be. And so when we read in Matthew, we typically find the disciples are not really the superheroes we imagine. They're usually struggling with whatever Jesus is trying to teach them. And in Matthew 16, we see a rare glimpse into Peter showing flashes of who God wants him to be, answering this question that Jesus puts before them better than anyone else could possibly answer. So let's read in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, and answer this question, who is Jesus? Starting in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15, but you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But this morning, this question that Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am, is a question he not only is asking these 12 men following him, but he is asking each and every single one of us. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? What do you believe about me? And the truth is, we have to ask ourselves this question daily. Who is Jesus? If I'm investing my entire life in this person, who am I investing in? If I'm trusting him fully, who am I trusting in? And so this morning, I want to share with you just kind of a thought process through this question of who is Jesus. Some of what the disciples may have been thinking and others that are just observations that we can find. First thing we understand is is there are many opinions about Jesus. There are many opinions about Jesus. The first question that Jesus asked kind of deals with a popular opinion. Who do people say that I am? What's the general consensus about the identity of Christ? And the truth is, there are many different opinions. As a matter of fact, there are Christian groups or self-labeled Christian groups who have different opinions about who Jesus Christ is. As a matter of fact, of the four main religions, and they are four distinct religions, of the four distinct religions that claim Christianity in their name, there are four very different pictures of Jesus. And I would go out and tell you that of the four, there really is only one Jesus, and yet we have in Christianity, or by name Christianity, four different opinions. Protestants, which is what we are, we consider ourselves Protestants, teach that He's a Savior and mediator between God the Father and all Christians. In other words, He is the Lord and Savior, the one who leads our lives and saves us from our sins. And we believe that because of who Jesus is, we can talk directly to Him and to the Father. Jesus gives us, that's what we mean by mediator, He gives us access to God. When we trust Him, we can know God. Catholics view Him kind of as so transcendent and so different that mere man cannot approach Him. We have to go through, if you're Catholic, you have to go through a priest or another individual or maybe saints who have passed before. And so they call themselves Christians as well, but they have a different view of who Jesus would be. There's no direct connection. Mormons, who also claim Christianity, teach that as a son, not just the Son of God, but as a Son of God, Jesus and Satan were once equal. They were once brothers and were on level footing. Now, as time has progressed, certainly Jesus has ascended and Satan has descended, but there was a time that they were once considered equal. And Jesus is a Son of God, not just the Son of God. Jehovah's Witness also claim Christianity, and they believe that Jesus is a man, but they reject Him as God altogether. They don't believe that He has any God qualities to Him. He is simply a human being who God calls His Son. So here we have four different groups of Christians, and all four of them have a completely different view of who Jesus is. Who do people say Jesus is? What does culture say Jesus is? What is the general consensus? And the answer is there is no general consensus. The answers are so varied. There are countless opinions. As a matter of fact, when Jesus asked this question of the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" they gave Him many answers. And in verse 14, and they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." The disciples said, "We don't know who the people say." There's so many different answers to this question. There is no general consensus, and so we as self-titled Christians have to be very careful. We don't get our opinion of who Jesus is from the general consensus because there is none. We can't wait for the world or some religion to tell us who Jesus is. We need to know who the real Jesus is. And there is only one real Jesus. He either was God or He wasn't God. He either was Savior or He was not. He either gives believers access to God the Father or He doesn't. There's only one true Jesus. And Peter gives us kind of an approved description of who Jesus is in Matthew 16:16 when he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This morning, of all the opinions about Jesus that we can get from the world, let us be reminded that we have, contained in God's very words, a perfect description of who Jesus is. We know and can know who the Christ is. And so Jesus then gets personal. Okay, that's who people say. Who do you say that I am? Where will you get your answer? The second observation we have to understand, and it really has everything to do with our faith, is that your obedience reflects your answer to this question. Your obedience reflects your answer to this question. Whether or not you are obediently following Christ will show very clearly who you think Jesus is. Peter's demonstrated his own faithfulness to Jesus in answering this question, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are our Savior. And he backs that up with obedience to Christ. As a matter of fact, we see, especially in the book of Acts, these heroic movements by Peter. Oh, he struggles some in the gospel. He has times of doubting. He even denies the Savior because of his faulty faith. But ultimately, his obedience proves that he knows that Jesus Christ is God and is Savior. It's demonstrated by our obedience. Our obedience reflects our answer to this question. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior for your sins? Do you genuinely believe that he gave his life for you? Do you really trust that Jesus knows what's best for your life? That as God, he can see all things and knows what's best for you? And even more, do you know that he died specifically for your sins? So my question is, if we know that Jesus, or believe that Jesus died for us and has what's best in mind for us, why is it that we aren't living our lives in obedience? I believe wholeheartedly that the reason why many don't obey is because they don't have a clear picture of who Jesus is. They know about him, but they don't know him personally. I love to ask people this all the time. It's a really fun exercise. Do you know who George Hodge is? Anybody in here know George Hodge? There's just a handful I know. A few on the front row is it. Anybody else in here know who George Hodge is? No, you don't know who George Hodge is. You'd have no idea who he is. You could Google him and you still wouldn't know. George Hodge is my stepdad. Now, you don't care anything about that. You didn't know he's my stepdad and don't care. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you all know who George Hodge is? All of you. I just told you. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you all know George Hodge? The same handful. You can know about him. My stepdad's a wonderful man. He's half Japanese. I like to tell people, because my stepdad's half Japanese, I'm a quarter Japanese. You can see it, right? I can tell you that he was born and raised in South Florida. He now lives in Princeton, Kentucky, where he owns his own gun business, and he's a great stepdad. He's a wonderful man, and I can tell you that he likes hunting and fishing and all of these other things. I can tell you all about them, but how many of you all personally know George Hodge? Still the same handful. There's a difference between knowing who God is and knowing all the facts about God and knowing everything the Bible says and having a personal relationship and knowing who God is. I'm afraid that there are many of us who know about God but don't know God personally, and our obedience suffers because of it. Our fruit is not growing because we don't personally have a relationship. In Luke chapter 4, verse 46, Jesus asks a question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" There's a disconnect between calling Jesus Lord and your obedience, and it should not be. As a matter of fact, it is impossible for Jesus to be your Lord if you are not obedient. It's just impossible. So perhaps you're struggling with your Christian walk. You're asking, why can't I get motivated to study the Bible? How come I can't find time to pray each day? And why can't I commit to the church more regularly? And why can't I shake this particular sin I have in my life? And you become so frustrated because you want to do what's right, but you just can't seem to get there. And you don't know why you can't be more obedient, that you constantly fail. And the answer why is simpler than you think. The answer is, you must truly believe Jesus is who he says he is and know him personally. You've learned all that there is to know about Jesus, but have you really, truly trusted that he is who he says he is? Have you really given him full control of your life? In Romans, it tells us that we are enslaved to God, that we are to make ourselves slaves before him, literally saying, anything you tell me to do, God, I will do. And when we know who Jesus is, we have no other response than to throw up our hands and say, yes, Lord, wherever you lead me. So it's important this morning to realize that Jesus is more than just a religious figure. He's more than just a religious figure. We read who the people say that Jesus is. They said he's John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or a prophet or some other religious figure. But I wonder to Christians who Jesus is. I wonder how many of us, Jesus is just the person who we sing about. He's just that guy in the Bible. Well, we believe a lot of things about him, but he's just merely an individual. The story is told of an artist who sculpted this beautiful angel. And he wanted the master artist of his time, Michelangelo, to come and inspect his angel sculpture. So he got in touch and got Michelangelo to come and inspect his sculpture. And Michelangelo walks all around and inspects every inch of this angel. And finally, after a long time of deliberation, Michelangelo says, "Well, it only lacks one thing." And he turns around and he walks out. Well, the artist is paranoid. What is the one thing that the master artist sees it's missing? And he was too embarrassed to chase after him and say, what's the one thing? He thought it must be so obvious, or else he would have stated it. And so he gets a friend to go talk to Michelangelo and say, "Hey, what's the one thing that was lacking?" Michelangelo says, "It's a beautiful sculpture. It looks very angelic, but it's not alive. It's lacking life." Now, I wonder if us as Christians look the part. We're sculpted beautifully. Everything's polished with us. We're coming to church and we're doing the church thing. We're obedient in things we want to be obedient in, at least things that people can see, and we've kind of buried everything else, but we're lacking one thing. We're missing one key ingredient, and that is life found in Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter 10, and Jesus is explaining that all those who have come before him who have claimed to be the Savior, they're nothing but thieves and robbers. And as you read John chapter 10, he makes it very clear that there is only one real true Savior. And in John 10:10, Jesus says, I'm the door for the sheep. He says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. God has come not just to be a religious person for us, but to take we who are dead and make us alive. He's much more than just a religious person who we give attention to or we sing songs about. But once we have the right perspective of who Jesus is, we then desire to follow him. We don't have to fight about our obedience and our faithfulness. There's not a list of laws and rules that we're trying to keep. We just know that Jesus Christ has done for us what we could not do for ourselves, that he's saved us from our sins. And out of compulsion, we cannot help with this new life we are given, but worship and reach out and know more about him. Our service is not obligation, then. It's out of love. We know Jesus as Messiah. We know him as the Son of the living God, the Savior of our sins, and the Lord of our lives. We willingly and wholeheartedly submit to his will. Salvation is only found when we have the right perspective of who Jesus is. So this morning, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus for you? There's only one right answer. All the other answers are thieves and robbers to steal, kill, and destroy. But the real Jesus gives life. This morning, Jesus Christ, as revealed in Scripture, is two things. He is Lord and he is Savior. And so as we ask who is Jesus, we have to understand he is first and foremost Savior of our sins, forgiver of all that we have done wrong. Every mistake we've ever made, every rebellious act we've ever committed, Jesus Christ is able to forgive that through his death on the cross. While we deserve death, he took it on our behalf. And so Jesus is our Savior to forgive our sins, but he is also our Lord. You cannot know who Jesus is without acknowledging that he is the Lord and controller of all things, that he is in charge of our lives, and we're submitting to him to say, "Where you lead me, I will follow. Everything you want me to do, I will do." This morning, maybe your perspective of Jesus has been more of a religious figure, and just now you're realizing you need to trust Jesus Christ as the Savior of your sins and the Lord and the King of your life. This morning, our perspective on who Jesus is changes everything. And I wonder if we ask, who is Jesus? Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so thankful that you have revealed yourself in Scripture. I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who, Lord, there's so many rumors about him and who he is and what he might do. And Lord, even among those who label themselves Christians, we can't all agree. And so, Lord, we turn to your word this morning and ask you to show us who you are. So, Lord, we echo Peter's words when we say, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are our Savior to forgive us of our sins. And you are our Lord to lead our lives. Lord, knowing what you've sacrificed for us, we willingly submit to you in obedience. Lord, I just pray this morning that we would have a new and fresh idea and understanding of who you are. And Lord, for those who have never truly seen you in this light, who have never trusted you as Lord and Savior, that this morning that they would be burdened to say, Lord, I want to know more about how I can put my faith and trust in you. Lord, I thank you for giving us life in the midst of our deadness. And we pray now that all of us would daily submit to you, saying, Lord, you are the God who gives life, and we surrender to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.